present God. So there is no place where his presence is not there. Amen. We praise God for that. We can put our trust, our confidence in this great God of ours. Amen. Lord, you formed us out of clay, and for your glory we were made. Use this vessel, Lord, this morning as you choose, and let my life, let it praise you. Speak to our hearts this morning. Speak words through your Holy Spirit that will reach the heart and touch the heart of every listener, that we might examine ourselves as your word goes forth, and where there's lack, we pray that you would make up the difference. Where there's need for action, we pray that you would impress upon our hearts to act in genuine response to your word. We pray, Lord God, that you would silence the enemy and cancel all distractions that would hinder us from hearing what you have to say to us. Give us ears to hear what your spirit has to say to the church and hearts to obey. Let all flesh be silent and let you be lifted up amongst us, even now, even the more so. We thank you that you allowed us to enter with thanksgiving and praise. And now we sit as hungry children waiting for you to feed us from on high. Your word says you sent your word and healed them. We're in need of healing on multiple levels. Send your word under the unction, control, and guided by the Holy Ghost. And we'll bless you and we'll praise you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today from the subject, things will get worse. Now, y'all didn't come to church to hear that. Y'all really didn't come to church to hear that things will get worse. But you can get better. Things will get worse. But you can get better. Everyone is aware of the day and time that we're living in and all the things that are going on, not only in our country, but in other countries around the world. People are looking for answers and they're grasping at different concepts and they're looking for leaders and they're looking for movements and they're looking for all type of things. They're looking for an antidote to the problem. They're looking for an ease to their frustration. They're looking for someone to make things better. And that is a ripe environment for deception, because sometimes people will capitalize on the hunger and the apparent hopelessness of the masses and feel that this is the time for you to take advantage. They say, I have an answer for this and I have an answer for that. And sometimes they will lead people headlong down a cliff because people want answers. People want a sense of security. People want a sense of peace of mind and well-being. In fact, people have formed corporations and companies, and they're making great amounts of money to sell people an idea of peace and safety. If you drive through several neighborhoods, you'll see signs, ADT, Brinks, or whatever, giving people, they say, you pay for peace of mind. But unless the Lord watch the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. You can have signs, you can have alarms, but we are living in such an evil generation where people sit up at night devising ways to counteract your security measures. If you don't believe what I'm saying, somebody hacked, y'all know, into the DNC's email server. So if they can hack into something like that, surely your little $39 a month system, huh? If they really wanted to hack into that, they can hack into it. They can put, okay, let me get a little further, some y'all don't believe. The hackers are so good, they can put a loop on your camera and make you think you're looking at your front door or your side door or your back door being closed, and all the while they done busted it down. That's just the way evil is progressing. That's just the way things are. So there is sometimes a false, to a certain degree, sense of security, and yet you pay for it every month. Now, I'm not telling you to cancel your subscription, but what I'm telling you is to put your hope, your trust, and your confidence in the Lord. That's what I'm trying to tell you, all right? Because it just makes good sense to have those type of things. That's just the day and time that we're living in. But most important thing is you put your confidence and your trust in God. And there is people that will say, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. But I come to remind you of some things that has been recorded in Scripture and let us know that things will get worse. Walk with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. This might not be a popular message, but it's something that we need to know. Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse number 1. All right, Matthew 24, beginning at verse number 1. I have the Amplified version of the Bible. You can follow along in whatever version that you have. It says, Jesus departed from the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him and to call his attention to the buildings of the temple and point them out. But he answered them, do you see all this? Truly I tell you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. So let's not, thank God for our building. Amen. And we praise God for our building. We praise God for the labor and the sacrifice that went into us moving from our other location to this location, but let's not get carried away with the building. Amen. In fact, some who are not among us, one of the reasons that they are not among us because they were tied and connected more so to a building than they were to what the building represents. Amen. 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 So let's not get carried away so much with the building. Thank God for it, but the building is not the most important thing. All right? Verse 3 says, while he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this take place and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age, the completion, the consummation of the age. So the disciples wanted to know, Lord, when you're coming back. Tell us how we're going to be able to know that you're coming back so we can be ready. Tell us what to look for. And we just come to remind you, though you've heard it before and you may have heard it for years and years, but Jesus is on his way back. And his return is sooner than when we first believe. We need to understand and we need to know that he is on his way back. Jesus, in verse 4, Jesus answered them, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. That's why we can't afford to be distracted. We can't afford to put all of our attention into what's going on in different movements. Yes, pay attention to things that are happening in the world, but our main focus should be on God. Our main focus should be in God's word so that we might be able to escape the wrath that is soon to come. Scripture goes on to say, for many will come in on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. You see, so we're hearing about that now, right? They was hearing about that even in Bible times. We're hearing about what North Korea is saying and what China is saying. We're hearing about the stuff that's still going on for a number of years over in the Middle East, right? Jesus said these things must take place. So this is why we chose to share that things will get worse. We haven't seen all that's going to happen before the Lord comes back to take us up out of here, all right? So we have to arm ourselves with that type of a mind. Things will get worse, all right? Verse 7 says, for nation will rise against nation. Don't we see that? And kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. We see that's happening, right? All this, he said, now, all this is but the beginning. The early pains of birth pains of the intolerable anguish. So Jesus said, when you see these things take place, this is just the beginning of sorrows, right? So we know that if it's just the beginning of sorrows, sorrows then will intensify. And since he spoke that here in Matthew when he was on the earth in his public ministry, surely some 2,000 or so years later, things will have to get perpetually worse. Right? They have to get worse. So if they started back then, what's happening now? Don't expect the world to get any better. It is going to get worse and worse and worse. But the encouragement that we have is that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So when these things happen, and sometimes some worse things will happen even to the people of God. They will happen even to the people of God. But we are not concerned, or we shouldn't be that highly concerned with the worst things that are happening, because these are just things that are happening, and these are just the things that are being fulfilled that the scripture has already declared that will take place. So we shouldn't be frightened. We shouldn't throw our hands up. We shouldn't say, what's going on? God has already given us a foresight of what to expect. Don't expect it to get any better. And we have to understand that if the world, since the world hated Jesus, and since we belong to Jesus, the world will hate us. This is why the Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. When he talks about that, he's talking about the world systems. The systems of the world are directly in opposition to the kingdom of God. We need to know that. We need to be aware of that. We need to understand that, right? And have that in the forefront of our minds. Verse number 9 says, then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You see, it's Jesus that the world has always had a problem with. And since we identify with the name of Jesus, since we have repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus, and we have received the Spirit of Jesus, the world hates us. Because it hated Jesus. Yeah, they might smile in your face, and yeah, they might go along just to get along, but if the truth be told, the world hates us. You need to be armed with that information. All right? Scripture goes on to say in verse number 10, and then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. Basically, it's going to get so bad, some is going to fall away. Huh? Some going to fall. That's what the scripture says. Things are going to get so. We are not. Don't expect that we can just go through here on a flowery bed of ease. We're going to have to face some trouble. Yes, we are. We're going to have to face some hard times. We're going to have to face some suffering. We're going to have to face some affliction. Right? We need to understand. We got to come in here with our eyes wide open. I hear the word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So that suffering, that's in our package. That's a part of our salvation. Because I hear the word of God encourage me anyway. He says, if we suffer with him, then we're going to reign with him. So don't expect to reign in the kingdom of God when Jesus comes back to get us. Don't expect no reigning if you ain't going through no suffering. This is what the Bible says. So it will get worse. Things will get worse. All right? So many will be offended and repelled. Because I thought once I got saved, everything was going to be smooth sailing. Does that offend you? Well, if it offends you, then you need to look into this book. All right? Many will be offended and repelled. I don't want to go through that. No, let me take the easy way out. Ain't no easy way out. Jesus didn't take the easy way out. He went to the cross. All right? Then the scripture goes on to say, and many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. You know that's happening now. All right? Watch this. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. The love of many is going to wax cold. People don't, well, let me ask. I don't want to accuse. Do people love like they used to? Not now, but everybody, it seems like the trend is I got to look out for me and mine and bump everybody else. And that is happening, as the Bible declares, because of lawlessness. What is lawlessness? When you break down lawlessness, it's plain old sin. Huh? Because sin is going against the word of God. So lawlessness and iniquity is multiplied in the earth even right now. Look at every level, in families, in communities, in cities, in states, in countries, and in nations. Lawlessness and iniquity is being multiplied. That's why you got all this killing going on. Because of sin, lawlessness, and iniquity. This is what Jesus is declaring to those disciples who came to him privately and said, Lord, what's going to happen. And after he tells them all of this, here's what he says in verse number 13. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, he didn't say that you weren't going to have to go through nothing. He didn't say that you might not face some severe difficulties. He didn't say that tragedy was not going to visit your house or your family. But what he did say, but he who endures to the end, so that tells me that we're going to have to go through something. This might not be a shout message, but please don't doubt this message. He who endures to the end will be saved. So that endures tells me I got to go through something. So encourage yourself. This is your participation part. Put your hand on yourself and tell yourself you got to go through something to get to where we're going to go. So things will get worse, but you can get better. Amen. 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 So here's what we have to understand. If Jesus declared this, and then those who believe Jesus declared this same message, and they were actually living some of the things in the biblical time that Jesus declared was going to happen. So we talked about earlier in the week in Vacation Bible School, Bible class, one of the churches that Paul established was the church at Thessalonica, where you get the letters to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and that was a young church. And because it was a young church, it was made up of Jewish believers and Greek believers and some prominent women there in that church. And Paul wanted to let them know in a letter, walk with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, and Paul wanted to let them know that you're going to have to go through something. So Paul is writing a letter to the church, to the saints, to the sanctified ones, letting them know that you're going to have to go through some things, but we want you to have your confidence and your reliance and your faith and your trust not in the things that are surrounding you, or not in the things that are taking place in and around your environment or to you personally, but your confidence and your trust must remain in Jesus Christ. So Paul, he was concerned with that church that he started there in Thessalonica, and we begin at chapter number 3 of 1 Thessalonians, and verse number 1, it says, therefore, when the suspense of separation and our yearning for some personal communication from you became intolerable, we consented to being left behind alone at Athens. See, Paul was concerned about that church. So Paul was concerned about how the people were getting along, because he knew the opposition that he faced even in establishing churches. Let me tell you, anytime you're doing something for God, expect opposition. Anytime you start doing, you really make up in your mind, not playing, but anytime you really make up in your mind that you're going to live for God, first of all, and then when you really make up in your mind that you're going to walk according to the word of God, and then you really make up your mind that you're going to start doing some kingdom work, expect opposition. Expect the devil to be hot on your trail. In fact, expect the devil to try to get you off track with a distraction. Expect the devil to say, okay, I know what you wanted, so here's her, or here's him, or here's this, to get you off of your tracker. So what Paul was trying to do, he wanted to communicate with the church at Thessalonica. He wanted to communicate with them and see how they were doing, but he had to stay at another place called Athens. So he sent his son in the gospel. He sent Timothy down there to check on them and to encourage them. Listen, God is sending a word to somebody this morning to tell you he wants to check on you. Since you may not be checking in with him as you ought to check in with him, so God sent the word this morning to check on you, to check on your spiritual condition, to check on your spiritual well-being, to check on your spiritual health. God wants you to understand that you're going through some things. So he tells him in verse number 2, and we sent Timothy our brother and God's servant in spreading the good news, the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and establish and to exhort and comfort and encourage you in your faith. This is what the word of God will do. God's word will strengthen you if you need strength. God's word will establish you. It will make you to stand on the very word of God, and you will not be tossed by every wind of doctrine. The word of God, once you get it in your heart and get it in your mind and believe it and take God at his word, it will give you some strength and it will establish you. And God's word will exhort you. And God's word will comfort and encourage you in your faith. Sometimes we need comfort. Sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we need strength and establishment. And God's word will very well do that. It will establish, it will strengthen and encourage you in your faith. It will encourage you to stay loyal to the God who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. God's word will strengthen and establish you and to let you know that God, be ye holy, for I am holy. God's word will establish you and let you know that you have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And our high priest is none other than Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he was tempted at all points, like as we are, yet without sin. So I find strength and encouragement. I find strength to know that my Redeemer, my Lord, and my Savior is a tried stone. And he went through every test, and he went through every trial. He went through all of his persecution. And since he did it, he is able to strengthen me. He is able to strengthen you to go through whatever you got to go through. You need to be strengthened in your faith, because things will get worse, but you can get better. That's the type of a God that we serve. In your deepest night, in your worst storm, God can give you a peace that passes all understanding. God can get right in the fiery furnace of your trial and of your test and cause you to chill in the fire. Glory to God. God can get right in the lion's den with you and tell you to go on and take a nap. I got this. God can tell you, I got your back. Yeah, Satan, as a roaring lion, he goes around seeking whom he may devour. He can roar all he wants to roar, but he can't touch you unless God says so. So let him bluff. Let him sell his wolf tickets if you please. Put your trust, put your hope, put your confidence in Jesus Christ. Things will get worse, but you can sure enough get better. Yes, you can, and yes, you will, if you allow God's word to take root in your heart. And if you walk according to his word, you will get better, no matter how worse things get. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Paul, encouraging the saints at Thessalonica, he tells them through his son in the gospel, Timothy, who he sent. He hears what he says in verse number 3, that no one of you should be disturbed and beguiled and led astray by these afflictions and difficulties, to which I have referred, for you yourselves know that this is unavoidable in our position. You've been positioned, glory to God, to suffer. You've been positioned to go through tests. Listen, when you go through like God wants you to go through, God's going to get glory, and you're going to get deliverance, and you're going to get blessed, and you're going to get strength, because I hear the Bible Bible said they overcame by the word of their testimony. Listen, you can't get no testimony if you don't go through no test. You've been positioned. You've been positioned. This is unavoidable. You're going through something, and it's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. This ain't the popular message, but it's the message. Amen. Don't be deceived. And you must be recognized as our appointed lot. Paul said, this is our lot. This is our lot. This is what's in the bag for us. This is what's in it for us, for following Jesus. What's in it? Suffering. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, that don't sound like you want people to come. Oh, yes. Yes, we do. Because I reckon that the sufferings of this present times are not worthy to be compared, glory to God, to the joy that's going to be revealed in us when we see Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. So go through until you get through. Hallelujah. Oh, God, put some muscle to your spiritual hustle and go on through. Go on through. Verse number 4. For even when we were with you, Paul said, you know, we warned you and we warned you plainly beforehand that we were to be pressed with difficulties and made to suffer affliction. Listen, when you come in here, that's when your problems really start. Because, let me tell you why. Because as long as you're on the devil's territory and the devil got you locked up and he got you in bondage and sin, he ain't fighting against you. He just got to give you a little more to keep you going. But when you make up your mind that you're going to turn your back on the devil, turn your back on the world, turn your back on your own self and come running to Jesus, that's when you make the devil mad. That's when the devil takes you off of his friends list. That's when the devil unfriends you and he puts you, that's when he blocked you from his friends list and you become on the hit list of the devil. But listen, I'd rather be on the hit list of the devil than on the hit list with God, because we sing sometime, I am a friend of God. So I want Jesus to add me as a friend. So the only way that Jesus, if you please, will take out his spiritual iPhone and add your name as a friend, if you believe what he told you, if you receive what he told you, if you obey what he tells us, repent of your sins, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then you're on the friend list. Then you get added to Jesus. Jesus got a big, ain't nobody got more friends on their contacts than Jesus. And Jesus can contact every one of his friends all the time, anytime. His ear is open unto the cry of his people. Jesus' server will never crash. You can contact Jesus in the morning, in the noonday, or the midnight hour. But listen, once you become a friend of Jesus, know of a surety, things will get worse. But we don't focus on things. We focus on Jesus. Because why? Why don't you focus on things? Because heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will abide forever. Listen, I'm not saying that it's not good to have nice things. If God allows you to work and acquire nice things, well, praise God. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Have all the nice things that you can. Have all the comforts of home and family life that you can. But, don't let those things capture you. You have to wear this world as a loose fitting garment, because when Jesus comes back, I'm leaving everything that I have acquired. I'm leaving it. I ain't going to think twice about it. I say, even so, come Lord Jesus, because he declared in his word that he is going to prepare a place for me. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will surely come back and receive you unto myself. So where I am, there you may be also. Ain't a house, ain't a mansion. There is no estate on the planet Earth that can match what God has prepared for us. So I'll leave it all behind in a heartbeat, in half of a heartbeat, because, oh God, the more stuff I got, the more I got to worry about. Glory, hallelujah. Got to worry about this breaking down, and that breaking down, and this breaking in, and that breaking in, and water bill, and light bill, and tax bill, and whatever bill. But it's okay if God allows us to have it. But one day soon, and very soon, all them bills are going to be left behind. Somebody ought to shout on that right now. Won't have to worry about no budget. Won't have to worry to pay the gardener. I'm going, no, wait a minute, to be selfish, we're going up out of here. Glory, hallelujah. But in the meantime, don't get it twisted. In the meantime, we're going to go through some stuff down here. Folks are going to lie on us. Folks are going to take advantage of us. Folks are going to cheat us and hate us. Some of us might get locked up, and some of us might even get killed, but that's all right. What do you mean? That's all right. Listen, I already died. When did you die? I died on Wednesday, June 19th, 1985. I was buried in water. Wait a minute. I hear God say he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. I heard him also say it's appointed once unto man to die, and after that, judgment. So sent, glory to God, I already died once. I ain't got to worry about dying no more. I hear the Bible, I'm happy now. I hear the Bible said that we were buried with Christ in baptism. We weren't buried alive. We died if we believe what the scripture said. So since we died, we rose up to walk in the newness of life. I got life in me. You got life in you. And wait a minute, we can say like Jesus said, no man take my life. Glory. How can you be that bold? Since I believe the word of God, if I have to go by the way of the grave, I'm just sleeping until he comes back for me. You'll just be sleeping until he comes back for you. But before we go to sleep, or before we get raptured, we're going to suffer. You will suffer. Fix it in your mind. It ain't peaches and cream. It ain't peaches and herb either. Glory. Well, y'all know me. Come on. Come on. It ain't peaches nowhere. Glory. There's some pits along the way. Huh? Hallelujah. But Paul, he's encouraging the saints. That's what I want to do. I want to encourage you. And I want to make somebody jealous enough to say, well, since suffering is appointed to me, listen, there's a time to suffer. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather suffer now. I'd rather suffer with those that follow Jesus. Then, because there's going to be some suffering when he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's some eternal suffering. So, okay, you all are very intelligent people. I can look at your faces and tell that you're highly intellectual and intelligent people. I can tell by your countenance, and I can tell by the way you're paying so close attention to the words that are coming out of my mouth. So can I ask you a question? What would it, reason with me, if you will, for a moment. What what is better to go through, since you got to go through something anyway? Is temporary suffering or eternal suffering better? What would you rather have? All right. I know I'm in the right place. And y'all might invite me back next week. I know I'm in the right place. So since we got to suffer anyway, and we understand that this suffering is just temporary, let it get worse. These things have to come to pass. That's why it's so important for us to encourage one another in the faith. That's why it's so, because the devil wants to make us think when our season of suffering comes that you're by yourself. Ain't nobody understand it. Ain't nobody called you. Ain't nobody. We ought to come to the place where we can call our brother or sister and say, hey, man, I'm having a rough time. Pray for me. Huh? We got to put that pride down. We got to put that false macho-ism down. I'm a man. I got this. No, you don't. No, you don't. And your family is suffering for it because you don't know how to release that. So you put it on your wife. You put it on your kids. When the pressure is on you, man up. Oh, okay, man up. Look up. Huh? Look up and get down on your knees so you can strengthen up. Because don't you remember, you're the priest of your home. Things are going to get worse, but you can get better. Things are going to get worse, but you can get better. I got to move quickly. I just wanted to preach for 30 minutes, but that's gone now. That's all I wanted to do, was preach for 30 minutes. I'm tempted to stop. Somebody shouting right now. Come on. I know us. We're people. Huh? And see, the enemy don't want this message to get out. But I'm going to get it out of me. Amen. Verse 4 again, for even when we were with you, you know we warned you plainly beforehand that we were to be pressed with difficulties. Anybody going through difficulties? You can raise your hands. We're in a safe place. We're in a safe place. Yeah. Anybody going through difficulties? Yeah, we're in a, and made to suffer affliction. Anybody going through afflictions of some kind? Come on. Yeah, no, I'm all right. No, see, that's the problem with us. How you doing? You all right? Yeah. I'm all right. And no way, Timothy, help me for a minute. This is what we do. Hey, man, how you doing? You all right? Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Stay up. But I'm buried, and I'm dragging with, Lord, how am I going to take care of my family? Lord, my son needs this. My daughter needs this. How am I going to mend it? First with you, God, and then how am I going to be reconciled to my family? But I'm all right. You all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Stay up, yeah. And you know you're going through. You know you're going through. And if we have discernment, you know when your brother's going through. Well, we got a wall up. Well, I ain't going to say nothing. If he don't say nothing, I ain't going to get into his business. But that's your brother. You want to see him wilt on the vine? Say, look, brother, you ain't got to tell me what you're going through, but I can look at you. In fact, the Lord let me know you're going through something. So let's pray. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And sometimes, oh Lord, sometimes, men, we need a shoulder to cry on. Don't shoot me. Sometimes we need that. Uh-oh. That's why you get in the the bathroom and in the shower, and you turn the hot water on to shave, and then you and it all hits you. Your wife said, "You all right in there?" "Yeah, I'm all right. I'll be out in a while. I told you I'll be out in a little while." We can see through that. We can see through that. Huh? You're going through, but you got to put up that false image. "Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right." You need a brother, man. "Look, I'm going through." "All right. Cry. Cry." Jesus wept. He wasn't no punk. If Jesus can cry and let people, they say, "Oh, look at Jesus crying. Thank God he wept." But we tell our boys, "Stop crying. I'm going to whoop you." That's going to make him crying. See the dumb logic in that? If you don't stop crying, I'm going to give you something to cry for. Now, how stupid is that? No, think about it. If you don't stop crying, you're going to give them something to cry for. Find out why they're crying. Don't give them something else to cry for, because all you're going to do is push him away. And when you push him away, I don't know why I got on this, but if you push him away from you, Dad, guess where he's going? To the street. Because they're going to tell him, "I feel you, dog. I feel you. I feel you. All right, come on, man. You family now. Let's go put in this work." And then your son, because he needed some male bonding and understanding, and God placed you there, and you swole. Now your son is with a clip, right? And to initiate him, he got to put in work. He got to pull some triggers. And then when he gets snatched up, then you want the community, the church, and everybody else to go down to the courthouse for your son's hearing. When you started that, shut up. Let him get it out. Sit down and talk with him. Right? Let him know, "Okay, son, I understand. I understand. All right, here's how you handle that. Let's see how we can handle that. Let's look at what God's word said." God's word? It may be foreign to you. That's why you need to get in it. Because, listen, things will get worse. We ain't seen. Wait a minute. We have not seen. I have to correct that. I know we have educators in here. Sometimes I do have a college degree. It's in the office somewhere, but I earned it. But we have not seen the worst that's going to happen. We haven't seen it. We haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen it yet. I'm trying to arm you. I'm trying to forewarn you. This is not doom and gloom. This is just reality. All right? All right? All right? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'll probably, I got another scripture after that. I'm doing pretty good. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. "But understand this, that in the last days will set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear." Now that's Bible. Stress is on everybody. You hear what I said? Stress is on everybody. And how you handle stress is different. I'm the type of person, here's what I want you to add something on your prayer list, because I don't mind telling you when I need help. Because you can look at me and tell I need help. That's not a big mystery. But stress, one of the things that I need help with is a proper stress relief. I have a tendency to internalize a lot of things. And my doctors tell me that stress is going to come out one way or the other. And for me, my tendency is to internalize stress. So it shows up in my body in the form of eczema. You see? You see? Visual illustration. This is because of stress. This is because of stress. You see that? Don't be repelled. I ain't gonna put that on you, but but this is because of stress. Now, it used to be worse. I'm getting better because it used to be on this arm. You see how smooth this arm is? Huh? This is like a before and after commercial. You see how smooth this arm is? But look at this arm. You see? This arm looks terrible, don't it? It's because of stress. And it used to be here, and it used to be on my chest, and it used to be on my legs. But the only place that is still remaining is here. So I'm thanking God that it is diminishing. But I have to learn how to not internalize my stress. I have to learn how to cry out to God more consistently. I have to learn. See, I'm not putting this on y'all. But I'm letting you into the mirror of my life to show you what I have to deal with. I have to learn how to cry out to God so God can relieve me of the stress. I have to learn how to cast all of my cares upon Him. And when I learn how to do that in a consistent manner, this will look like this. Because I started not to wear a short sleeve shirt today. But for the illustration of this part of this message, it was very, very necessary to let you see that the scripture said all of us are appointed to some difficulty. You see what I'm saying? Nobody is exempt. So all of us is going to have to, all of us are going to have to, I'm checking myself so I can be grammatically correct. All of us are going to have to deal with stress, with difficulties, with afflictions. Paul said that is our appointed lot. But we cannot allow it to overwhelm us. We can even get better. So by God's grace, I'm declaring my healing right now. Before it manifests. And I know I got brothers and sisters are dealing with more severe things. So I'm declaring your healing right now by faith. Because I want us all to be healed. I want us all to be healed. One way or the other. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. We shall be healed. All right. Let me get back to the scripture so we can move on, so we can move to our close. But understand this. That in the last days will come, set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. Is that happening now? Yes. Lovers of money. Is that happening now? Yes. And aroused by inordinate greedy desire for wealth. Is that happening now? Yes. Proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. I got this and I got that and I got this and I got that. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents. Parents, is that happening now? Kids in the house, kids out of the house, kids who are minors, kids who are grown. Thank you. That's the parent section. Amen. They will be ungrateful? Lord. Ooh, got a strong amen. Amen. Ungrateful. Is it happening now? Unholy? Ooh, glory. Profane. Now wait, let's not forget, he's writing this to a church. No, he's writing to his son Timothy. I'm sorry. Let Timothy know you're a minister, but this is what's going to happen. All right? Then he says, they will be without natural human affection, callous and inhumane. I don't care. It ain't happening to me, so I don't care. Relentless, They're going to do what they want to do no matter what you tell them. No matter how the godly advice you try to give them, they're going to be relentless in their pursuit of evil. Oh, Lord, help us today. Is that happening now? All right, I just wanted to make sure this was the right message. So things are getting worse, aren't they? But you can get better. Admitting of no truce or appeasement, they will be slanderous, false accusers, troublemakers. Is that happening now? Intemperate, no self-control. None. So I'm gonna do what I want to do because I want to do it. I don't care what you say. I'm gonna do it anyway. Oh, mom. Oh, dad. You don't know. How you think they got to be mom and dad? I'm trying to help the parents out. Kids, y'all don't know everything. Kids, young people, even young parents, y'all don't know anything. And the bad part about it, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. Things are going to get worse. But you can get better. And that's sad when you don't know what you don't know. But you think you know. I get so tired of my precious goddaughters. And one in particular, I'm not calling no names. Telling me, I know, but your actions are betraying you. I know. I try to sit them down and talk to them. I'm talking about me. You all can feel my pain. Do it this way. Here's the way you should do it. Don't get involved with this. Don't get hooked up with this individual. I know, but then you have the nerve enough to say, this is just me, y'all help me. Well, he kind of reminds me of you. That's a lie. I'm not falling for that. That's a trick of the enemy. What me are you talking about? Are you talking about the unsaved me? You didn't know the unsaved me. All right, so let me trap you in your own words. If he reminds you of me, is he saved? Because I'm saved. Don't try that with me. Miss me with that. Well, he kind of reminds me of you. How? In what way? And the fact that he's a man, that's about it. See, the devil is the devil. And he got some of our kids trapped. I'm tired of all of our kids being trapped by them phony, flawed Swiss cheese lies and stories that the devil sends all of our kids from time to time, and they fall for it. God help us. They fall for it. Don't fall for the devil's tricks and his schemes. Things are going to get worse, but you can get better. Let me finish this off. This didn't go the way that I thought it would go, but it never does. So that's all right. I'm used to that. But I'm trying to help us. They will be treacherous. Ooh, they will be intemperate, loose in morals. Oh, God, I just talked about that, didn't I? Loose in morals and conduct. Oh, okay. I got to hit this. Get up out of that bed of fornication and adultery. Get up out of there. How? Let me look at the clock. How are you going to lead some body to the Lord if they're leading you to the bed of fornication and adultery? How? That don't make sense. Well, you come over to my house tonight, and we'll spend the night, but you got to go to church with me in the morning. The devil is a liar. Because I got to put up appearances. I got to make people think that we just friends. But you forgot that you friends with benefits. Ooh. Real quiet in here. Y'all might not invite me back next week after all. But God declared this before we got here. This was written before any of us were born. Uncontrolled, fierce haters of good. Don't tell me what's right. I don't want to hear what's right. I want to do what I want to do. For all they will be treacherous betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. That ain't gonna happen to me. All right, you keep playing around. You gonna come up with something you can't get rid of. Read between the lines. No, read on the line. Never mind between the line. Keep on. All right. It's gonna really get worse for you. I'm telling you this because I love you. All right. Don't let the devil feed your mind. See, Pastor always hating. He always hating. He's trying to stop our fun. No, that's the devil. That's the devil. I'm trying to save your life and help save and preserve your soul. That's my job as a pastor. I got to tell you the truth, whether you want to receive it or not. But I hope you receive it, because things are going to get worse. But you can get better. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. Is that happening now? Yes, it is. For although they hold a form of piety of true religion, although they know all the mechanics, although they know when to come into church, and they know how to praise the Lord and how are you doing, blessed, although they know all that, although they know the proper things to say, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. They're saying one thing and doing another. Now, watch what Paul said. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. Whew. Avoid them. I got to cut you off. Now, here's the reason to avoid them. Don't regard them as an enemy, but still regard them as your brother, so they might be embarrassed for their conduct and they might be reconciled unto God. Because I can't condone what you're doing, because it is against God. I love you. And I'm concerned for you, but you need to know that this can't happen. This is not what God has designed for you. Things get worse. Oh, Mom, you don't love me. Oh, Dad, you don't love me. Yes, I do. And because I do, I want you to see the error of your ways. It's your conduct that. Watch this. Take it all for you. I'm trying to help you out here, parents, grandparents, aunties, uncle, big mom, and whoever you are. I'm trying to help you out. Take it all for you and say, God is not pleased with this type of behavior. See, that takes it off of you, right? God is not pleased. And it is our purpose and desire, and we believe it is your heart's desire to please God. So we have to let you know, as a representative of God, although I am your mother, although I am your father, your uncle, whatever, your grandparent, God is not pleased with this type of behavior. It's our responsibility. Now, the relationship is going to get a little worse until they have their aha moment, until they have their come to Jesus moment. And guess what's going to happen? When they have that moment, and God, and by our interceding for them, right, God's going to touch their hearts. When he does it, I don't know. I can't tell you that. That's in God's time. But it's our responsibility to pray for them. It's our responsibility not to be weary and well-doing and give them a piece of our mind. No, that's the wrong approach, because we're dealing with the spiritual battle. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Fast on their behalf. Fast that the bands of wickedness be broken in whatever area is in their life. And when they come back, you notice I didn't say if. When they come back, rejoice with them. Embrace them. Say, son, this is an answer to my prayer. Daughter, this is an answer to my prayer. Let's rejoice together that God has allowed you grace to see the error of your ways and you come back. And when they come back, guess what? Things will get worse because they're going to be tempted again. But they can get better. They can get better. Let me read this last scripture to you, and then we will. I got to move quick, because we're supposed to be out of here by 12. Really? It's not written down anywhere, but that's our plan. Romans, very familiar scripture, Romans 35 and 39. No matter how worse, Romans 8. 35, 39, I'm sorry. No matter how bad things get, and expect some difficulties to come into our life, because those who will live godly shall suffer persecution. That's what 2 Timothy says. But Romans, here's some encouragement. Yes, we know things are going to get worse, but you can get better. Here's one thing we have to know. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction, and tribulation, or calamity, or distress, or persecution, or hunger, or destitution, or peril, or sword. Now, he lists a whole lot of things that can happen to us. You see that? Huh? Even as it is written, for thy sake, we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Put your hand on yourself and declare, I am more than a conqueror. Now, here's the thing, and here's the crux of the matter is, in my conclusion, although things will get worse, here's how you can get better. Verse 38, for I am persuaded beyond a doubt. I am sure. You got to be persuaded. You have to be persuaded beyond a doubt. I am persuaded beyond a doubt. I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending, things that might come, and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's how you can get better. You got to be persuaded. You got to be sure. You got to make up your mind that whatever happens, whatever the list of the different scriptures that we read, and they may happen to us, and things may and they will get worse, but I can get better. So the worse things get, the closer I'm going to run to Jesus. The worse things get, the more I'm going to lift up a praise to my God. The worse things get around me, and the things that I have to deal with and the things that I have to encounter, the more I'm going to pray. The worse things get, the more I'm going to get into God's word. The worse things get, the more I'm going to be looking up, because I know, according to his word, that my redemption is drawing nigh. The worse things get, the more courageous I'm going to get to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life, in the manner that I live. The worse things get, the closer I'm going to get to God. The worse things get, the more I'm going to walk in peace. The more I'm going to walk in confidence that God has promised in his word that he'll never leave me, neither will he forsake me. The worse things get, the Lord will let me be reminded of his word that a righteous man falls seven times, but he get back up. The worse things get, the more I will say to myself and rehearse the word of God in my heart and in my mind, that until it consumes me, that I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. The worst things get, I will stand and declare that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let the world go crazy. I'm not of the world. Yeah, I'm just in it temporarily. So the worse things get, the more I'm going to glorify God. The worse things get, the more I'm going to live for God. Because the Bible says that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. So things have to get worse. Because the worse they get, guess what? The closer Jesus gets. The worse things get, the sooner he will return. So it's up to me and it's up to you to make our calling and election sure, because one day soon and very soon the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive shall be caught. You hear what I said? We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. So let the worst things come. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, the sweetest setup that the devil's going to try to put in my path. But I wholly lean. I lean my entire existence, my entire self on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. So let things go topsy-turvy if you want to. I'm standing on a solid rock. I'm standing on a sure foundation. So stuff can happen all around me. I heard God say in his word, only with my eye shall I see, shall I behold the destruction of the wicked. But God is a refuge. He's a refuge. I hear the Bible declare the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So things get worse, I'm running to the tower. Things get crazy, I'm running to the strong tower. Things go topsy-turvy, I'm running to the strong tower. I got a rock. I got a rock that the dealers can't cut. I got a rock that the dealers and man on the corner can't step on. That rock is Jesus. I got a solid rock. I got a sure foundation. I got a Savior that's on his way back. Don't look for a political party to make things better for you. Look to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And soon, glory to God, soon he's coming. And it will, it will, it will, sure enough will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let me go through what I gotta go through. Let me, listen, I got some scars. That's because I done been through something. You got scars because you've been through something. But when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We gonna get a glorified body. Suffer in this body if you have to. Go through whatever you have to go through. I will not, God said, I will not leave you, neither will I forsake you. And he said, I'm with you always, even up to the end of the earth. Amen. Period. That's all. You got God's word on it. He's with you. He's for you. He wants you to live for him and go on through whatever you got to go through, because it will be glory after this. After this. Whatever your this is, whatever your this is, go on through it. If God brings you to it, he can sure enough bring you through it. There will be glory after this. And God is the timekeeper. God, I feel like preaching, but I got to go. God is the regulator. He says when time's up. He knows, God, he knows. Listen, do you believe that he knows? Well, live like you believe it. God will not. You hear what I said? He will not put on us more than what we're able to bear. So if it gets worse, we can bear it because we got God's word on it. But he said, with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape so that you'll be able to bear it. Put some muscle on your hustle for Jesus and go on through it. Put some muscle on that hustle and go on through it. I will go through. It will get worse, but I can get better. Amen. God bless you. I'm through. I'm through. Take this word with you. This word can travel with you. Take it with you. If you're here this morning and things are getting